T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's talk some Bears. Tony, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Have a little fun, brother.
Let's go.
Okay? Have an awesome game today, Ken.
JJ Stankovic, covering the Bears for NBC Sports Chicago.
You are still taking your fitness very seriously.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go drink beer and have pizza after this, but I earned it.
Every single Friday.
Gotcha. I want to see it come out of you right here.
Yes, sir.
You take this thing over right now.
Yes, sir.
JJ Stankovic with Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
We love talking with JJ Stankovic of NBC Sports Chicago. He joins me on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford, you can find 500 new and used vehicles there. He's on the media bus. So listen, JJ has to be more quiet because he's respectful of his media brethren that are on the bus with him. So you got to turn the radio up a little bit because he's got all of the latest Bears information. And he joins us every week here on my show. What's up, JJ?
Hey, I'm on the bus. I'm sitting next to the great Pat Finley with Chicago Sun-Times, and I don't want to be super loud because other people are trying to transcribe on this bus.
All right, that's fair. Tell Patrick I said hello.
Sorry, what?
Tell Patrick
Adam,
I said
Adam
hello.
Was quite. Patrick also says hello back. Sorry, I was thrown off because Adam Ho said you called him the great Pat Finley and questioned that.
Okay, well, here, ask Adam Ho, has he found his luggage or his clothes yet?
He is not.
Okay, that's what I thought. Because I was listening to the Hogan Johns podcast, and he's still probably in that ratty Northwestern hoodie because he got his clothes lost. So maybe he should worry about finding his clothes and not worry about what's going on over here.
Worst nightmare possible is what happened there.
There's no doubt about it. No doubt at all. How is your trip to London been?
It's great. It's been great. I've never been to this city. The vibe here is so neat because everywhere you go, especially in the touristy spots, there are just so many Bears fans out and around. It was funny today. I was walking around Parliament, and I connected my headphones in. I was listening to a podcast, and I just heard someone shout my name, and it was my really good friend, Matt, who's over here with his wife, and also two of their other friends who, you know, we started hanging out, and it was just sort of like, man, like what a small world in one of the biggest cities in the world. I just ran into two of my friends out here, you know, and there are so many Bears fans out here. It is just packed. And I think the atmosphere on Sunday at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium is going to be really neat because this is still a novelty to Bears fans.
And London, because of the Bears going there back in the 80s and because some of the stuff that they've done, like it also has to, it has a bunch of Bears fans that are just there.
Yeah, and it is a significant amount of Bears fans over here. If anyone is a Premier League fan, Arlo White, who is the lead commentator for NBC Sports Premier League coverage, is a diehard Bears fan. Also, Roger Bennett of the Men in Blazers, diehard Bears fan. So they made a lot of inroads in England early on because, like you said, Lawrence, they played the first ever game over here in England back in 1986. Don't discount too, the Raiders do have a lot of fans over here as well. Who will show up, but I think the traveling fans are going to be Chicago by a mile on Sunday.
JJ, should I be worried about Taylor Gabriel?
You know, probably not. I don't know if it's the best idea to put a guy who just had a concussion, you know, even 10 days ago, you know, to put him on a plane overseas. I know the Raiders did with Cleveland Farrell, which I thought was a little odd, but I wouldn't be too worried about him. And, you know, if he misses the game after the bye against New Orleans, then I think that's something to worry about. But I think right now it's probably prudent to not have a guy who had a concussion travel overseas.
Well, who is going to play this weekend versus who didn't play last weekend?
So Kyle Long told us he will play. Akeem Hicks did practice today. He's officially questionable, which is a certainly better sign than we've seen recently with him, that, you know, he did participate in practice. Ron Smith is a full go. So those three guys are kind of the starting point here for who you will see back on the field potentially on Sunday.
What's it been like covering the Roquan story for the last week?
It's been weird. You know, there's so much speculation that you see on social media, and, you know, you don't know how much of that is fair or not. I think what Matt Nagy said on Wednesday, you know, just like, hey, respect his privacy, all that. I think that probably should have been the message from the start with this team, instead of just kind of the immediate deflection and evasiveness. But, it's been weird, but it seems like, you know, for right now, that whatever happened has been put in the past, and Roquan's going to go on Sunday.
Okay, well, let's talk about the Raiders, because I think throughout this week, what they've done through the first four games hasn't been discussed enough. I think that if you looked at this schedule early on and watched them on Hard Knocks, you're like, that's an easy dub for the Bears. And it may still be, but I feel like they look better than I expected them to look when the season began. Is that fair?
Yeah, I certainly did not expect them to beat the Colts last weekend. But, you know, that game that they won in week one against Denver was such an emotional game, with all the, you know, FAB chants and just, you know, the fact that it was the last Monday night game in Oakland, that kind of was a little bit off to the side. But going on the road and beating the Colts, a good Colts team, that was a very impressive win for this team. I'm interested to see how shorthanded they might be on Sunday. If Tyrell Williams doesn't play, that is a big issue. My colleague at NBC Sports Bay Area, Scott Baer, is writing up for their website that he's got the sense that Williams will play. Clelin Ferrell is going to be a question if he's ready to go after a concussion. But there's going to be some interesting matchups out there, because I do think the Raiders might be set up to block Bears, to deal with the Bears' pass rush a little better than some people might think. You know, Trent Brown had a really good game against Khalil Mack last year when he was with New England. Mack obviously was dealing with the ankle in that game. They singled Trent Brown on Mack by the end of that game, and then Brown did not have a problem blocking him. And I do think that, you know, that Derek Carr gets the ball out really quick. If you look at it, only three other quarterbacks have a lower time to throw than Derek Carr this year. And Darren Waller, their tight end, is a really good player, a guy who Carr gets him the ball quickly, and he makes plays with the ball in his hands. He's averaging 9.7 yards per reception, but only 4.9 average intended air yards per NFL Next Gen stats. So that's going to be an interesting thing if, you know, Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan or Buster Screen or whoever is on him can kind of cover up Waller. Because if you can do that, I think this Raiders offense will struggle. But if Waller gets going over the middle, that might be a little bit more of a challenge than the Bears may think it will be.
JJ, what do you think Oakland's going to try and do to rattle Chase Daniel?
I think they got to try to get pressure up the middle. Try to beat Kyle Long, try to beat James Daniels, and just get pressure in his face. Because Chase, being a shorter quarterback who does not have the mobility of Russell Wilson or Kyler Murray or Baker Mayfield or any of those, you know, other shorter quarterbacks, he does kind of struggle when pressure's in his face. And I think that's probably where the Raiders will try to get at him. Maybe it involves some different design blitzes or hoping that the interior guys on that line can beat the Bears offensive lineman across from him. That's going to be kind of sort of my take on it. But I do think the Raiders have a decent secondary. They're able to keep LaMarcus Joyner on the field. It's kind of a slot corner hybrid type guy. He's a pretty good player. So, you know, this is not necessarily a walk in the park type game. You know, the Chase Daniel's going to have to be kind of on it and making the right decisions, making the right reads. But I do think that kind of starts with his protection up front, especially in the interior.
JJ Stankovitz of NBC Sports Chicago joining me here on The Score, as he does every week, as we preview the Bears game against the Raiders going on in London. I don't know if it came up with Chase, but did he talk at all about what he learned, not just from last week, but maybe the game that he started last year against Detroit and New York?
He kind of talked a little bit about needing to stay kind of even keel and you know, just kind of keeping his preparation the same, because he's a guy who everyone says, you know, prepares like he's a starter even when he's not. And you know, I think those games last year, he almost overthought when he played against the Giants, whereas maybe he didn't overthink when he played the Lions, just because it was a short week and didn't really practice. And, you know, that's going to be something on Sunday where he can't kind of overthink this, where, you know, you come in and do a middle of a game or on a short week and you're not really overthinking anything. You're just kind of out there relying on muscle memory and instincts. I think he's going to need to keep that same kind of approach. And he said almost playing in London might help with that, because you're on this flight. It might actually just kind of help you not overthink things, because it is just kind of a different atmosphere that you're playing in. But that, to me, is going to be important for him.
Does this game seem like it's more important to Khalil Mack than others?
You know, he's trying not to let it on, but you know, you can tell there is a bit of a, you know, I want to prove it to them that, you know, they're stupid for trading me type mentality for him. So, you know, I think it's going to be interesting, because some other Bears players might be just as motivated to make plays for Khalil and, you know, really, you know, make sure that the game that he plays against the Raiders, the team that traded him, they do not lose. I wouldn't necessarily discount that either, and I think that might help with the whole, you know, Bears players aren't super jacked up about going over here to London. You know, there is just a little extra tinge of motivation that might wind up helping them a bit.
With a backup for Chase, do you expect that they'll just sign Tyler Bray, good, because we were joking that it might be more interesting to see the Wildcat offense from the Bears with Tariq Cohen and Trey Burton and Cordarrelle Patterson, but you expect that they'll find a roster spot for Tyler Bray and have him in uniform on Sunday?
Yeah, they will. I don't remember if Bradley Soller and Abdul Anderson is on the roster right now, but one of those guys will probably get cut like they always do, and then they'll find Tyler Bray.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So what's the best thing that you've done since you've been there, or the best thing you've eaten since you've been there?
Best thing I've eaten. So last night, a couple of us went out to a Greek restaurant called Opso. That was recommended by one of Kevin Fishbane's colleagues at The Athletic. That was very good. But tomorrow, I'm going to the West Ham Crystal Palace match.
What?
And I'm very much looking forward to seeing my first Premier League action.
Oh, man, JJ, that sounds like a blast, man. Well, thank you. I appreciate you jumping on. I know that it's crowded and people are trying to transcribe and all that stuff on the bus, but I've been following on Instagram and on Twitter and NBCSportsChicago.com, and you really provided a lot of cool content, man.
Hey, thanks. I mean, somehow that photo I took of Khalil Mack intercepting a pass from Derek Carr where Derek Carr tried to tackle and blew up all over. It was a stupid setup, but kind of a funny photo. So that was cool.
It was hilarious to see Derek Carr trying to tackle a pass-receiving Khalil Mack. And who knows? It's possible that we could see that. It's absolutely possible that the ball gets tipped by Mack. He then catches it, and then Derek Carr has to chase him down and tackle.
That will be one of the funniest things to happen if that actually does happen.
JJ, have a great time in London. Tell Hogue to get some clothes, and I'll see you when you get back here.
All right, thanks, Lawrence.
That is JJ Stankovic joining us from London on the bus. Man, I used to have to do hits like that. You're trying to be respectful, but, you know, it's also your job. So, because sometimes at Halas Hall, you get the shh, shh, when I be doing my Bears reports for Boers and Bernstein. I'd be like, man, I'm working.
And then you tell Patsy to calm down.
Well, now they have it set up where, like, the electronic people are kind of, at least the last time I was up there, I haven't seen the new place, that they're a bit farther away. But now everyone is everything. So, like, everyone's, like, every reporter is doing a podcast or a radio hit because, you know, media. And there's still a demarcation line between, well, I'm a print journalist. Oh, I'm not an electronic journalist. But that line is becoming more and more blurry, because there's more and more opportunities to make money in electronic journalism.
And people are reading a little less.
Yeah, and that, I don't think that that's a good thing. I think that's a bad thing, especially since I feel like there's a lot of great actual beat writers here in Chicago on the Bears.
I think that was more of Tony talking about Tony.
Tony not wanting to read.
Hey, yes. If you got a video version or a podcast version, I'm here for it.
You'd rather do that than read.
Yes, like I buy audiobooks because I don't.
I mean, that's fine. I mean, however you consume it, you consume it. And
There have been some studies that have said that people usually zone out of something that they're reading on a screen after about 600 words, which is why a site like ProFootballTalk.com is really successful because they don't have to create a ton of their own content. They can aggregate and summarize and then go, if you want to read the whole story, click right here. And then you can read the, here's the story from Brad Biggs on this. But they'll give you a nice 500-word summary, and there you go. You're good to go. By the way, you know how we were talking about the Marquee Network and how they could end up in disputes with carriers, right? Well, that is the case with NBC Sports Chicago right now. So if you have Sling or Dish, you're not going to get the football after show because it doesn't look like the two sides have come to an agreement on anything, but you can talk with Dish and Sling. Like, because this is going to be a deal with everything. And remember, all the Blackhawks games, the Bulls games, and the White Sox games are going to be on there too. I would hope that everything is resolved by the time Blackhawks season comes around. But if you are someone who likes to watch the football after show or the Blackhawks and Bulls, and you want to let Sling and Dish know, then you should reach out to them and let them know. And we'll see how if they get the message, but this has become a thing like everywhere where a lot of these places are not going to house some of this stuff and some of the content you want. So as a consumer, you have a choice, and I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you options. And if you want to fight the power, so to speak, you can. And you can tell them, guys, I really want Marquee and I really want NBC Sports Chicago. How can we fix all this stuff? And then we'll see if they fix it. All right. But for those of you who still do have NBC Sports Chicago, guess what? I got something special for the football after show this week in particular. Wardrobe choice this week. It's going to be fun. Figure, you know, what? Why you got that look on your face, Tony?
No, I'm just interested.
We'll see if you tune in. Probably won't. It'll be on Monday when he's trying to find sound bites from him. Like, oh, you wore that. Good job. When we come back, we're going to find out what is it like to try and block Khalil Mack. We had a guest on this week that gave some great insight into that. We'll discuss next here on The Score. There is an official injury report out from your Chicago Bears as they get ready to take on the Oakland Raiders in London. It will be a noon kickoff, even though it will be a night game there because, you know, time zones. Here is your official injury report. The practice status for players, you had no practice from Taylor Gabriel, Joel Iye-Buniwe, Ted Larson, Bilal Nichols, or Mitchell Trubisky. Limited participation in practice was Akeem Hicks. Full participation, guys that are back, Trey Burton, Kyle Long, Eddie Pinheiro. Oh, that's nice. So he's had full participation all week. And Roquan Smith. So the official report for their status on Sunday goes as follows. Taylor Gabriel, Ted Larson, Bilal Nichols, Mitchell Trubisky are out for the game. Akeem Hicks is questionable for the game, and Joel Iye-Buniwe is doubtful for the game. So there you have it, the injury report for your Bears. I want to go back to Khalil Mack if I can for a minute. We had Joe Thomas on the show earlier this week. He was really great. We had a lot of fun talking with him about all sorts of stuff. And considering that we're talking about one of the best tackles that's ever played the game, a guy that was, what, a 9-time All-Pro and a 10-time Pro Bowler, I wanted to get his thoughts about trying to block Khalil Mack, both in the abstract and in the real, because he's actually done it.
I did, unfortunately. Actually, my rookie year, his rookie year, we played against them in Cleveland, and then the next year we played against him, and both times, I mean, even in his first couple years in the NFL, he was just such a phenomenal talent. You could see him just jump right off the film. And then going against him was even another level, because sometimes you see guys, they play pretty well and you don't really have a sense for how strong they are, because he's not a real big guy. Like, he's He's not Ndamukong Suh. You look at Ndamukong Suh, you're like, okay, that guy's going to be a handful because he's huge. Look how big he is on film. But with Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald, you look at those two guys, they're smaller frame guys, but the amount of power they have is equal to a guy that's 50 pounds heavier than them. And so that's what makes Khalil so difficult, because tight ends have no chance to block him, even two guys. And even offensive tackles, they struggle to be able to keep up with his power that he creates. And then, of course, obviously he's extremely fast and quick. So most guys have a hard time just being in balance and keeping up with him, and he just tosses them all over the field.
What would you do? Like, if you were in a meeting, and I mean, obviously you were, because you played him a couple of times. If you were in a meeting now, what would you even suggest as the offensive coordinator is putting in the game plan on how you guys are going to deal with him? Is it chip every time? Is it help every time? How do you run an offense like that?
Run the other way. Take an injury so you don't have to play against him. I mean, he's a guy that will ruin your career. You look at what he's doing to players out there. And I was watching some film getting ready for the Thursday night game this week, and he took the right tackle that he was going against and with his inside hand literally just threw him right to the ground. And he had a double team there, and he split the double team, and he makes the sack. I mean, he's doing things that when you look at on paper in the playbook that offensive coordinators, quarterback, think that he should be completely bottled up because they're assigning two blockers to him on nearly every play, but he's still getting home. It's remarkable, and he reminds me a lot of Lawrence Taylor and the havoc he used to create when he was playing, and the way that you would try to account for him with two guys, but you can't. The only way you can hope to account for him is just to beat him with time, which is throw the ball quick, because nobody can be anything more than really a speed bump when you're trying to block Khalil Mack.
It's going to be interesting to see how the Raiders deploy against Mack, but I'm telling you, and if I end up looking foolish on this on Monday, I'm totally fine with it. They're better than you think. They've got some players, and if they're healthy, they're better than you think. But I would imagine that we're going to see plays run away from Khalil Mack, and maybe that's when you sneak away and single block him, or that he is going to be at least chipped by running back or tight end on each play. I've been dying to get to this audio all week, because a lot of what we love to do is if there's good stuff that we heard and maybe you didn't hear for whatever reason, we like to share it. And this is one of those things where Olin Krutz actually said to me, like, he's like, look, you need to go back into our pregame show from Sunday. And I said, why? He's like, well, we had Mike Brown on and it was really, really good stuff. And I said, well, anytime that I can run some Mike Brown tape, because I think he's one of the smartest football players that I came into contact with, I'm down. And then you add Olin into that mix. This is the conversation that they had. And I know that in this week where Mitch is hurt and he's not going to play this week, that we have spent more time kind of talking about Chase Daniel for good reason, because he's going to be the starting quarterback on Sunday. But the overarching issue is still about Mitchell Trubisky and what guys have seen on tape. Listen to Mike Brown and Olin break down what they've seen from Mitch on tape.
It's confidence, man. Mm-hmm. I want to see, like, I don't, like, so that's the whole thing. We, like, when he talks about football players, you want to see someone that is, like, confident in their decisions. So that's all I want to see. That's it. I just want you to believe in it, Mitch. Believe in it, and let's go, because so, he can play. Use the second pick of the draft.
So when all of us amateurs get into all the mechanics and all the play calling, all the formations and everything like that, you see the ability in him. You just don't see him making the plays.
Yes, that's all. I don't see I don't want to. It's hard for me to talk about players because mm-hmm. I know how hard this thing is. Mm-hmm. So, like, me talking about, like, oh, Mitch, like, no, I'm not going to disrespect that dude like that. Never. But when I watch him, that's all I want to see, just confidence. I think there's – but that's the hardest position on the field is playing the quarterback. And so that's a lot of pressure. But I just want him to just go. Mm-hmm. Let it loose.
And his confidence, right, Mike and Pat, it'll lead to good fundamentals. When you're confident – and then your footwork is better, right? And you're standing there. It's almost like for an offensive lineman, when I talk to young guys, I go, you got to pass block with arrogance. Like, come get it. Like, come get it. If you want it, come get it. Cause I'm going to give you all of it. And it's funny, cause I don't know. I'm sure you guys did. So I'll say it to Pat. when you watch week 17 last week, the Minnesota Vikings film, and Mitch is standing in that pocket.
Yeah.
And I mean, under pressure sometimes. Sure. They send an extra guy. He gets hit. There was the pass to Kevin White last year. I think it was like 22 yards. Mm-hmm. And the linebacker came free, and he took it, stood there. Right now, when he releases the ball, even when he doesn't get hit, it looks like he's got hit.
Right.
Like he falls backwards or his feet. Mike B is right on, Pat, when he's saying he's not playing with a lot of, for whatever reason, mm-hmm. with a lot of confidence.
And Mike, if you're facing a quarterback like him, I know you don't want to call out a player, but if you're playing against a Bears team like this that has a young quarterback that is lacking confidence and you're the safety and you have a D-line like you do in front of you, are you willing to take more chances? How do you go at that game?
No, listen, all you have to do is just listen to what the opponents are saying about him, right? Mm-hmm. When you hear the secondary, what do they say? We're just going to let Mitch be a quarterback. That's the game plan going in, right? Because that's what you see on film. Like, we're going to make him be a quarterback to beat us. I mean, I don't know.
When Tremont Williams says that, Mike, could you explain to us what he means by make him be a quarterback?
It's basically make him make the reads, make him be on time, be accurate, you know, like throw the ball. Like, so this team, like the Bears team is legit, but it just plays like every play, third down, that's all situational, third down, red zone. That's what we need from Mitch. Third down, red zone. That's it. We don't need any more from you, Mitch. Third down, red zone.
That's some fantastic analysis from Mike Brown, Pat Manley, Olin Krutz, and Hub Arkish. Fantastic. That's what you're going to get on our pregame show here on The Score. I want to speak a little bit more on it after I tell you that this hour is being brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. From a journalistic standpoint, can I just throw a bouquet real quick? I love both Patrick and Olin asking follow-up questions. Mike was like, well, here's what it is. Yes, but now I need you to explain to me why it's that way. So I love that those guys are like leaning into their journalistic chops and asking follow-up questions. But Mike's also right. All you need to know is that defenses think that the way to beat the Bears is to let Mitchell Trubisky play quarterback. One of the things that happens is, while you haven't seen Mitch run, I don't think it's a conscious decision by him. I think it's because defenses have been very disciplined in their pass lanes, and guys have been really good about keeping contained and not letting him outside, because that's where he can do damage with his feet. I think that he shouldn't. If it is something where he's shying away from that aspect of his game, I want him to re-add it when he comes back and he's healthy. Yes, the quarterbacks that are at the top of the game, Brady, Breeze, Rodgers, they win mostly from the pocket. And with Breeze and Brady, it's a matter of stepping one step to your left or your right as the rush is coming, stepping one step or two steps up in a pocket to make a throw. Rodgers has some mobility. Mitch shouldn't be afraid to use his mobility to open windows with which he can throw. You know who does it, I think, better than anyone in the league? And you saw it last night. Russell Wilson, my God, is that guy amazing. And what I've been telling you for the last 6 months is, physically, Mitch is a baby of Ben Roethlisberger and Russell Wilson. And I want him to lean on, if I were asking him to watch tape, that's the guy I'd ask him to watch. Yeah, Russ can get down the field. He can scoot. But what he's doing is, well, I'm going to extend this play, and I'm going to move a few steps to my left or right, and when I make my way towards the line of scrimmage, defenders are going to come up because they know I can run. And when they do that, I'm going to dump the ball over their head. It's really interesting, like, who the best team in the NFC is now. There's no good answer for that, because Seattle looks scary. The Rams can score a lot of points, but they've scored a lot of points the last 2 weeks and haven't been great. You got questions at quarterback with the Bears. Was last week a mirage for the Packers? Is Detroit any good? Are the Vikings any good? They can't be with that quarterback, right? Is San Francisco legit at 3-0, or is that a paper tiger 3-0? Going to come back, talk a little bit more about this Bears game and get you ready for it. My name is Lawrence Holmes. You're listening to The Score. Bottom of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Northwestern Football at Ryan Field this fall when the Wildcats, led by Big Ten Coach of the Year Pat Fitzgerald, host Ohio State, Iowa, Purdue, and Minnesota in Big Ten play. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at NUSports.com. I did not go and see Little Brother last week at the Metro. Kind of wish I would have. Heard they were good. And this album is one of my favorite rap albums of all time. Where does Fonte go on the list of rapper slash singer? He's pretty high, right?
Yes.
So, like,
in terms of like ratings in both rapping and singing,
yeah, like can rap at a high level and sing at a high level. So, wait, who's on the list? He's on the list, right?
Ja Rule.
No, Ja Rule is not. Where would I be without you? Queen Latifah is on the list.
I mean, with Ja Rule, when you can't tell if it's singing or rapping, that's a skill.
Well, then we have
Jim Boylan would say that's a skill.
Then we'd have to add the lead singer of Korn. Right? Because is that rapping or singing? I'm not sure what it is. And we'd have to add Fred Durst. I don't know what that is that they were doing over there.
Drake.
Drake is on the list. All right. So I need a ruling on this one. What do we do with Lauryn Hill? Lauryn Hill's more singer than rapper, right? So she's a singer who can rap instead of a rapper that sings.
Yes.
Okay. Who else goes on that list? A rapper that can, like, really sing. Who am I missing out on?
Andre?
I don't know if Andre 3000 can really sing. Some votes for Childish Gambino. That's good. That's good right there. Does he consider himself... Is what he's really doing singing, though? He's kind of in that nebulous area, too.
Yeah, he can sing. I mean... Yeah, he can sing. Yeah, he's got a slap. He can sing.
Someone says J. Cole. Have you heard J. Cole sing? I know he can rap. I don't know if he can sing. I'll put Most Def
being
on the list.
And doing your own course doesn't mean you can
sing.
Yeah,
I'll put Most Def on the list because he's actually like trilingual when he sings and raps sometimes. So he's on there. That was fun. Am I done with like all the reads and stuff? Oh, cool. Then I guess I'll be back after this with McNeil and Parkins here on The Score. What could be sweeter than you?
Bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
A huge thanks to the crew. They did a great job this week spinning a lot of plates. Tony, a.k.a. Tony Two Bags, a.k.a. Tone, a.k.a. Tony, has done it again. And his partner in crime, White Chocolate, a.k.a. Rick Camp. So we thank them. We thank J.J. Stankovic joining us live from London. We thank the Madhouse Podcast guys, Jay Zawoski and James Naveau, for being in studio and providing a good season preview for the Blackhawks right now at the end of the first period. The Blackhawks and Flyers are tied at one.
Also, check out LoHo Daily.
Yeah, LoHo Daily is me telling stories about my work as a producer at The Score. So I sat down Campy and Tony and told them how things used to be and how good they've got it now in comparison.
Wow, that's something that I could cuddle up to. Any mentions of pop cans that are full of pop exploding against brick walls in the back of the building on Belmont Avenue?
Or host throwing carts?
resemble that remark, Dan?
I miss those carts. There was a very satisfying sound when that plastic hit the wall.
I was explaining to Tony, and it's all in the podcast. We had a lot of fun talking about it. I was explaining to him how, you know, carts had a certain length that you get a cart, and it was like finding gold if you found a 3 minute and 30 second cart, because Mac always wanted these elaborate opens, and Spiegel used to do all of these elaborate opens back in Studio C. And the worst was like, yeah, it was 3:30, but it was really kind of 3:28. because the extra 2 seconds was to wind the tape back up. So if you did an open and you're like, I got it laid down on the reel-to-reel, and then you put it on the cart, and then you hear that click, and it's not all there, now you got to start all over again. You got to get the grease pin out and the razor blade and try to make it work. So I was explaining to Tony how much easier he has it now, being able to actually look at sound waves and being able to time it out perfectly without having to worry about a cart. And Mac, I was talking to him about how all the stuff that he does for the Open, that would all be separate carts.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah, you'd be there all night to do a two-minute montage. It was, and I was reminded of this recently watching Private Parts. Howard's story, the bit they do, the match game, Blank Willow, and Fred Norris is holding up all the signs, applause, laughter, and the engineer, the board op, is just scrambling for all the cards. You can hear the plastic going in, and those were the days, man.
Did you guys know that you were working with, like, archaic technology that you knew would get better?
Well, yes, because I don't think the Score got the internet until 2001, maybe. Like, we were still
that sounds right.
running around with baseball almanacs and stuff.
Yeah. So
media guys.
So we knew that in other places things were better.
We didn't have Wi-Fi when I got hired here in January of 17.
No, we had, I mean.
We did not have Wi-Fi.
We didn't.
We had computers that got the internet, but like your phone was just on data.
Right.
It was baffling.
But I mean, like, we didn't have like the internet. Like that's what I mean. Like
I know what you meant.
The St. Louis Browns of radio. That's exactly what the operation was.
But for the guys that have never been to the bunker, it's amazing that once we got to 50,000 watts, a 50,000 watt radio station was run out of that place.
Yeah.
Or actually, too.
I would love to see it.
Yes.
It's still around, right?
Yeah, I was there not too long ago. I drove by. Yes.
You can still go in because I'm pretty sure XRT still uses it for storage.
Storage, yeah. They need to do some work on it. The building's falling apart, but the antenna still sits high on top of it, and it still has the engraved name of the station.
I finally got to go there. I went there the day of Doug's service. Because Miska and I were out at a Who Needs Two, so we went over there so we could drop off equipment, went over, so I got to walk through it and see the world's ending CBS 2 studio that they had in
That's true.
And he showed me the room where, like, what the producer's studio was there, which is essentially like a small, odd-shaped triangle.
Yes, and then there was the closet, where it was literally a closet where you take in the audio feeds from George and Schuster.
Can I just go walk Rory. In?
I don't know. I mean, you work here, so
yeah, I know. I do. It still is kind of unbelievable.
But I'm sure that if you ask Mitch, like, he'll set it up.
Yeah,
you could just go over there and walk around.
I'd be curious.
Hope you're feeling better, Mitch, if you're listening.
Yeah, he was all stuffy. Yeah,
he spent too much time. He's on the road a lot. He's
traveling too much.
Yeah, 215, boy.
He needs a break from us.
Yeah, from everything.
Just take a couple of days off, man. Don't try. And Milwaukee especially.
The Blackhawks are in mid-season form, guys.
On defense, yes, they are.
They're losing all the face-offs again. Let's start the chatter now. Can Stan go trade for a guy who just can win face-offs? It's been said 20 minutes into the season.
Isn't that why Shaw was brought back here?
It's one of the reasons, yeah. But it's one period. That's a small sample size, as they say. Yeah.
When they gave up the first goal, I went to the talk back and said, season's over.
It's all over.
No playoffs for the Blackhawks this year. I guess we can move on to Cubs.
It is all Cubs already. We're past the Bears, past the Bulls, straight to Cubs.
Go back to Cubs.
WCUB, Lawrence Holmes.
You better believe it.
We've had a couple really good Thursday night NFL games consecutively, surprisingly.
Yep.
All of us who love to criticize the NFL for putting those guys back out there 3 days, 4 days after they play a game. Man, the last two Thursdays, no evidence of it. I thought that thing was really, really good last night for a Week 5 divisional game. I liked it enormously. I love, man, Todd Gurley was just getting it done in that first half.
Yeah, both things could be true, though, right? Like,
it's bad.
It's still very unsafe and immoral. But that was an incredible football game, and I really enjoyed watching it, and I was glad it was there.
Russell Wilson is
he's awesome.
An amazing quarterback.
Do you think there's an argument he's the second best quarterback in football?
Yes.
I do, too. I think he's, you know, obviously Brady has the accomplishments, but he's clearly not the same talent that he's been. But
when flushed, still always looking downfield, always looking for the home run and not committing to the run until he absolutely has to do it. He has an enormous skill for that thing, man.
I think I'd still say Rodgers is more talented than Russell Wilson, but Russell Wilson is spectacular and somehow underrated. Even though he's not paid like he's underrated, he hasn't won like he's underrated. He doesn't have he dates a celebrity, I guess.
Married to, right?
Married to. I guess it's the West Coast. That's the only real explanation.
He's also super boring and a little corny.
Oh, he's more than a little corny.
I mean, there's that part of it too. That
he doesn't sell himself in that way.
Well, I mean, he does, but it's not. It's like I could see him doing the State Farm commercials that Aaron Rodgers is doing, but there's not a lot of sizzle and there's a lot of steak with Russell. I love watching him. And last night, I was joking in the last segment how I want Mitch to do some of that stuff where, like you're saying, Mac, it's keep your eyes down the field. It's run to open up windows to throw. But there was one play that I was just dying laughing. There's a run play to the right side, near the right sideline, and he doesn't have the ball. And he slid because he saw what was coming.
Oh, yeah, when he was blocking. Yeah, he slid.
And
yeah,
I'm
he
like,
gave himself up.
That's smart football.
Yep.
And he doesn't take unnecessary risks. He still will take a risk. If it's the game is on the line, I need to make a play, he will put himself in danger. But outside of that, I'm going to run. Oh, you're going to give me 15 yards? I'm going to take 13 and I'm going to slide. I'm not going to put myself in a position to get hit by you.
You saw the Tyler Lockett catch actually had a lower catch probability than the Mitch to Taylor Gabriel one. That was
toe drag swag, Nate Burleson.
God, that's about as good of a throw and catch as you can possibly
amazing.
Have.
Just amazing.
Just really, really high level football.
All right, so let me ask the question you asked earlier this week. Who's the best team in the NFC?
I don't think we have an answer just yet. I think you could, you know, there's three teams you probably make very, very strong arguments, including teams that have a couple of blemishes on their record.
I think it's more than that.
More than three?
Yeah. I think
we got one
Bears,
of them here.
Bears, Packers.
And are we still disregarding the 49ers?
Yes.
I kind of am until I see more evidence of it.
I need one good win.
I'm not dismissing the Cowboys because they crapped the bet against the Saints on the road the other night. And the Saints, once they get Drew Brees back, should be okay. They're surviving right now. The defense is playing out of its mind to make up for the fact that Teddy Bridgewater is the quarterback.
And then both those teams last night think they can win the NFC
for sure.
You know, I think the NFC is wide open.
Rams got to fix a lot of stuff on defense.
Yes, they
do. A lot of stuff.
Yes, but man, Aaron Donald, he is still so damn good. I've seen when I was talking about Mac v. Donald earlier in the week, a lot of Bears fans on the text line were saying something to the effect of, you know, Khalil Mack would never let his overall defense be as bad as Aaron Donald allowed his overall defense to be. I'm like, A, you didn't watch Khalil Mack with the Raiders, and B, it's a team game. He's not a quarterback.
It's the ultimate team game.
Yeah, especially on that side of the ball. Like, you know, a quarterback can make a bunch of other people better, and obviously Mack makes Leonard Floyd and Akeem Hicks better.
And there are going to be games where Aaron Donald dominates to a level that his defense doesn't play as poorly as he's played the last 2 weeks. He's going to have a three-sack game with two forced fumbles. But week in and week out, it's hard to dominate, which is why I think we should really be talking about how special what we're seeing from Mac in the first four games. And I think who was it? It was Heron who said that he thinks that the first four games of Khalil Mack this year have been better than the first four games last year. And in those first four games, he was also amazing. So
his first half last year on opening night against the Packers was amazing. Really amazing, but slowed in the second half. And you got to give him a break on that. He didn't have any damn training camp. He was just thrust right in there. But I think he's playing much better this year than he was a year ago. And he's getting a ton of help, and he's going to need some again this weekend. because the Bears still are missing a few players. And that defensive line is deeper than I ever thought it was going to be.
Good rotation.
We're just finding out that, man, two Nicks wow on that defense. Love that this week. We've had a lot of fun with that. We're going to have some more. We're going to have some more fun. We've resurrected some more old audio today to celebrate one of our birthdays on a feel-good Friday.
And, yes, we have.
Lots of football chatter, gambling chatter. It's chilly. It feels like a football weekend out there today.
You're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. Yeah, Olin Krutz, who do you love? Dave Wanstead and Mark Grody from London.
All right.
All on the show
today. That sounds like a good Friday show. Well, have fun. Enjoy the weekend, boys. I'll see you on Monday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.